Yes, here I am, Maurice Cerrone, back from a little bit of a hiatus. We're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk in the A. Handy Man's Haven radio studio. I want to thank John for pulling up and substituting for me over the past couple of weeks, but it is good to be back and being able to let the listening audience know about various things that are occurring in our world around us, from the home remodeling and life type businesses that most of us are involved with. Our Tucson locations are at, or location, not plural, but location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That puts us six blocks south of 22nd Street, actually between 27th and 28th Street. We're the big yellow building. The address, again, is 1724 South 6th Avenue. Our phone number on the Tucson location is 520-624-7200. We do have a Green Valley location on the northern portion of Green Valley. The address there is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. You can weave through the internal workings of Green Valley and approach it from coming up from the south. Or if you want to get on I-19, you can get off at the Duval Mine exit roads. Immediately get into the left-hand lane as you're going to head westbound, and then turn down to the frontage roads and then pick up the Duval Mine road on an east-west direction. Head west accordingly, and you can approach Calle de las Tiendas. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. The hours of operation in Green Valley are about 8:30 in the morning, starting on Mondays, and closing about 4:30 in the afternoon, and they're open between Monday and Friday. Let's go back to Tucson a little bit. The Tucson hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Monday through Saturday. We are quite busy at most times in both locations with various aspects of construction as well as design work that we're accomplishing. If you'd like to have an appointment, just please give us a call at one of the phone numbers. We'll set you up for the appointment, and that will set you up with some dedicated time that we can plan on and inform the walk-in customers of what our requirements are. Again, I'd like to thank everybody for the Reader's Choice Award that A. Handy Man's Haven was endeared recently, being the top category in cabinets, top organization in cabinets and countertops, as well as being recognized as a favorite in one of the best hardware stores in the Tucson area, as well as the best remodeling store with the equipment and parts that we have available to improve the efficiency of your kitchens. Be that your kitchen is already installed and you like to add some things to it, we can set that up for you. Or if you're purchasing brand new cabinets, we can take care of various amenities that are in the garages, the bathrooms, vanities as we call them, storerooms, laundry rooms, kitchens, dining rooms, any place that you'd like to use our cabinets in order to provide your excellent design of which we're capable of handling for you. We are deeply involved in many cabinet modifications and a lot of other modifications that customers have started relying us on over the last couple of years, and I'd like to just talk about some of those because I think they are very significant. One is, we did have a request recently where somebody wanted to design a pre-hung 12-inch door system. We never did find out what they're going to use a 12-inch wide left-to-right door that's 80 inches tall and what they're going to store in that little cubicle, as we may want to say. But he wanted to replace the door that was there, so we end up creating a 12-inch door. The unique feature about his request is that he said it had been to eight other door companies in Tucson, and nobody was willing to tackle the project and get him set up with a 12-inch door. 12-inch doors, number one, can be ordered on a special order basis. It could take anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks in order to get them in. And you may want to think about the high production facilities that make doors today would have to shut down the entire line unless they have a special line in order to create the 12-inch door. But we were able to do it with an existing door system. We have that capability. And so if you have some very difficult things that you may think are impossible, I guess we can go along with the Marine thing, or the Marine saying is that the difficult is easy to accomplish, the impossible just takes a little bit longer. And that's probably very true in the industry of remodeling. Another major activity we've got going on is we're getting several requests for the cabinets that we are selling in the where the designs we're putting together on, and that is for the touch opening and touch locking systems. So basically speaking, what that amounts to is you touch your door or touch your cabinet drawer, and the spring action locking system unlocks and then pushes the door or drawer forward or out towards you. That's so you could open it up. This does eliminate the requirement for handles and knobs, so on and so forth. We do have certain cabinet companies that provide other assistance on request. We do have one company that provides it automatically, is that there is a finger pull area below the bottom of the drawer face, and you can put your fingers between the top of the door, if there is one underneath, and the drawer, the bottom of the drawer face, and put your fingers in the little finger pull and pull the door open, or the drawer. The doors are relatively easy to open because of the gap due to the protection devices that are attached on the door that hit up against the face frame of the cabinetry. So we're doing a lot of that in many of our designs these days, so we do have the equipment available and the expertise to mount those in various capacities. A little bit about countertops. As I've talked about in the past, countertops seem to be a major requirement of various types of material on any sort of surface that you want to have a work area, be it a garage type operation for your benches, be it in the kitchen, the laundry room, craft room, den, dining room, any place that you think sewing rooms, etc., that you'd like to work and need to have a flat surface. Especially if you sort a lot of papers or you collate them manually. If you do not have an automatic collator on your printing machine, that still is a way of collating a lot of merchandise or paperwork. So we can provide the surface for that. So we're doing on an average of two or three of these special countertops for various activities on a weekly basis, which keeps us humming quite regularly. We can provide you 10 feet of countertops, which is a laminate countertop with an integrated backsplash, if you so desire, or even without, for $90. That's 10 feet for $90. That's $9 a foot. If you want some special colors or special surfaces with your countertop, we can upgrade that at an increased price. Basically, all straight cuts on countertops are complimentary. For those that may not realize that, that's free, so to speak, or gratis, or whatever term you'd like to use. But the miter cuts, be they 45 degrees or some other angle, are $35. And we do provide end capping ability, so you can leave with a completed countertop with all the end caps accomplished at where you have exposed surfaces. Each end cap is $20 a piece. We do have side splashes available also. If you have short areas where water could bang up against your wall structure, we can provide that for you also. Well, see, we're coming across time here for our first break. The first segment is about completed. John, our production engineer over there, I mentioned him earlier, is getting ready to give you some fine information and music, and we'll see you after the break. There you are, folks. Swing that hammer, pound that nail, and keep your fingers out of the way. And you'll be in good shape when you attempt to join wood pieces together. I am Maurice from A Henny Man's Haven, transmitting in the A Henny Man's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk with a Tucson and a Green Valley store. If you'd like to enter into the conversation today, we truly invite you to accomplish that. Our phone number here for a live attendance on the air is 520-790-2040. 520-790-2040. We'll entertain your comments or suggestions and information that you may be requesting. We have mentioned in the past that one of our newest cabinet companies is out of the Texas area. They have 30 different cabinet designs for their doors and drawer fronts, which I find rather exhaustive in one area. And the second area that's really exhaustive, that they have over 1,800 different units per design. Right away, when you start doing some simple math, that's up to about 54,000 units that they provide in order to accomplish the requests that many customers are having these days. We have several of these designs on display at the store, so if you'd like to come on down in the Tucson store, give us a visit. We could talk about those types of cabinetry for you. Quite a variety, as well as if you would like any color that you happen to pick out from the Sherwin-Williams color palette, we could also introduce that into your cabinet and pretty much tailor-make your situation for what you like. Some of the requests we're getting today is that we're getting a darker request for cabinets that are on the bases underneath your counters, and then the upper cabinets are of a different lighter cover, be they painted on the bottom and wood on the top that are stained, or vice versa, whatever it happens to be. So a lot of flexibility from that standpoint. The next thing I'd like to talk about, I talked about one of the projects or the two of the projects that we are doing, but I'd like to get involved with water at the present time. Many of us know how important water is from that standpoint. There's several, I shouldn't say several sources of water. There's probably only two major sources of water when it comes directly, and one is by drilling a well, or cities have wells that are drilled, and the water is extracted from below the surface in aquifers, as we normally call it. And the other method of obtaining water is actually from the sky, as we may want to call it. It's called rainwater. And we have various types of catch basins, so to speak, throughout the world. One of them are big lakes. We happen to have several lakes in the Arizona area. Two of the largest that we're associated with is Lake Mead, which is around the Boulder Dam area between northwestern Arizona and Las Vegas, Nevada. And then we also have Lake Powell, which is up in the central portion that borders on Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, and Arizona. Lake Powell is a absolutely major source of water. But both of those lakes themselves, as Lake Powell does flow in through Lake Mead on the Colorado River, as it's called, Colorado River, coming out of the state of Colorado up in the mountains. So Colorado River to Lake Powell, Lake Powell, Colorado River down to Lake Mead, Lake Mead out of there, the Colorado River water down into through New Yuma, Arizona on the southwestern area into Mexico, and then out to the Baja California region. So lots of water. So a little bit about the Central Arizona Project as we have known it, which came about in the early 20th century. It was a shared dream of many Arizonans, and one of our representatives of the time, Carl Hayden, was the basically the one that promoted this extensively. He did live long enough, as far as I know, to see the Central Arizona Project water approved, and as we are utilizing it today. So a great amount of water that we share. The vision was to provide water security and stability for future generations in Arizona to enjoy their quality of life in the desert, as we call it. It's a 360 336-mile-long water delivery system. Many of us may not realize that we actually fly over it many times. We even drive over it. You may be paralleling it, especially when you go between Tucson and Phoenix, and you can pick out areas where the Central Arizona Project is located. The leadership of the Central Arizona Project is responsible for protecting and preserving what past generations were able to fund and build. This is Arizona's single largest resource of renewable water in the entire state. And that makes it very, very important. It serves over 5 million people, and it's more than 80% of, which is 80% of the state's population, which basically live in Maricopa, Pima, Pinal counties. That's the main service area of that. And it's set up and monitored continually through the Arizona Central Arizona Water Conservation District and its board of directors. So that makes it extremely important from that standpoint. In our case, in the Tucson area, it comes down through the southern boundary into the San Javier Indian Reservation from that standpoint. There are tunnels, there are aqueducts, there are pumping plants, there are pipelines, and it's a tremendous resource for our area. Of course, most of us know that the water that does come out of the Central Arizona Project is not only generated from rainwater throughout the entire region from Colorado through New Mexico down into Arizona. The headwaters of the Colorado River are up in the western portion of Colorado. So there's many states that have their tentacles, so to speak, into the project of obtaining water on a proportional basis into the area. The CAP, the Central Arizona Project, is designed to bring about 1.5 million acre-feet of water from the Colorado River to central and southern Arizona every year, which is currently around 35% of the state's annual water usage. So the question comes up is, what is 1 acre-foot of water? Well, 1 acre-foot of water is basically an acre of water. That's a certain thickness, which I think is about 1 foot. And it's so much water contained in an acre. So there's 325,851 gallons of water in 1 acre-foot. And this is established through the water, according to the Water Use It Wisely organization. And this is as of 2019. The average individual in Arizona uses 120 gallons of water per day. It's really hard to believe that you use 120 gallons of water a day. Many of us know what gallons of water look like or what 5 gallons of water looks like from that standpoint. And to think that you use that much water for whatever it may happen to be. The pumping stations that pump the water along the Central Arizona Project, there's basically 66,000 horsepower pumps extract the Arizona water out of the river and set it into motion to flow through Arizona. As of November 2019, the main source of that power, in order to power those 66,000 horsepower pumps, came from the Navajo coal power plant up in northwestern New Mexico, which has been decommissioned. So the power sources now have been secured, but are still not public knowledge as far as what power sources they're using. Of course, we do well know that they can get electric power, as an example, from Lake Powell. And if you ever have an opportunity to go up towards the Lake Powell area, you can take a tour of the power generation system there and see how the hydroelectric power systems are utilized in order to provide electricity to possibly power these pumps. So 66,000 horse-powered pumps. Another a power source would be Lake Mead, which was the first damming up of the Colorado River, what Boulder Dam is. And you can also take a tour down into the area of Lake Mead, of the Boulder Dam, and see the power generation system, the hydroelectric power. The interesting thing I found after visiting both of these locations is the method of construction of the dam itself out of concrete, and to keep it cool in order to accomplish all that, is basically the same method of construction as far as the structure goes and how they built Lake Powell several years later. So if you're ever up in that area, folks, that's a good thing you can do in order to get a good idea of what goes on as far as Arizona's water supply. To minimize your demands, especially during on-peak system and during planting seasons, when 100,000 of acres are being irrigated by our farmers, the CAP pumps water when rates are low and uses Lake Pleasant as a storage basin to meet the supplemental high water demand. So when we're growing crops throughout Arizona, they do require a lot of water. And as we know that the Phoenix area has a tremendous number of irrigation canals coming out of the central portion of Arizona through the various lakes that dam up the water as a result of rain and snowmelt. Anyway, if you so desire and you want to fund the additional expense, you can get an aerial view of these operations, and there are charter organizations available that can accomplish that for you. Well, folks, with that initial discussion here, we're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk from the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio. And we'll complete our second segment and come back with you shortly. Yes, folks, we get another day older if you're going to load 16 tons. Let me tell you, that's probably going to be a lot of work if you're going to do 16 tons. I'm Maurice from A. Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We have two locations, one in Tucson and one in Green Valley. Our Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue, and our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas at Suite 103 Alpha. Come on down and see us. We enjoy talking with you, and I do appreciate all the individuals that have called these past couple of weeks to discuss various aspects of things that they are working on or need to have some expertise on. We'll surely try to help you with everything that is available. One of the other things that you can do with your water supply, if you are concerned with it, there are various mechanisms that you can utilize in order to reduce your consumption. The biggest utilization of water in a home is the toilets and shower systems. There are ways of patterning your habit patterns whereby you can reduce the consumption of water. You can do your own home water audit from that standpoint. Probably one of the best things to do is to go out and take a look at your water meter. Find your water meter. Many people don't even know where that water meter may be located. But today it's set up under a telemetry system for most water companies, whereby they could have a Wi-Fi production system in them, or they could have a reader that where they just drive by and they obtain the reading from the meter as far as the number of gallons you happen to utilize. But in either way, before you go out, you may want to ensure that all the water devices in your home are turned off, such as the automatic feeder to maybe your swimming pool, automatic feeder to your plants and flower systems throughout your yard. Make sure that those are turned off, because when you go out to take a look at your water meter, you can watch the dials and see if they're moving. There is sort of a gallon dial, which moves rather rapidly as you're consuming water. And if that dial, which is probably the most accurate, is moving, and you know that all your water supplies are, or water you have water supply spigots are turned off, then you can suspect that you have a leak somewhere. It may be in your toilet, it may be in the washers in your valving system, or whatever it may happen to be. It could be multiple sources from that standpoint. It could be your evaporative cooler system, if you have one of those. It could be draining water. Anyway, so then you need to try to locate where that water problem may be. If you have various shutoff valves throughout your home, you can shut off those valves, which may turn off four, five, or six types of faucets, and you can determine and maybe isolate where your leakage may be. You may also have an underground leakage, which you're going to have to get somebody to come out professionally with the leakage testing devices and try to locate where that leak is. It can become very expensive because a lot of water companies, upon your utilization of water, if you exceed a certain amount that they think should be normal, the rate bumps up extensively. And as we say, it hits you in the pocketbook. And that money is drained out for no reason whatsoever, when I'm sure that each and every one of us could utilize that money in another fashion for things that we would like to use it for. It may be a nice dinner out someplace, or maybe a nice new suit or a pair of clothes or whatever it is. One of the other things about water is that we know that the human body is made up of many, many gallons of water from that standpoint. And without water, it can create havoc with many of our systems. One of them that can happen quite frequently, especially in a warmer climate, is you can become dehydrated and you can develop cramps. And cramps are not fun. If you happen to pick up some of those, it may happen at night while you're sleeping and you're jarred awake, or it may happen while you're out backpacking or hiking or mountain climbing. So consumption of water is very, very important. When you're out hiking or backpacking as an activity level, one has to use water very judiciously to a certain extent, but you could hydrate extensively before you even start out. I know on several of the treks that I've personally been on, we were expected to drink 2 gallons of water before we even started hiking. 2 gallons of water along with breakfast sort of fills up your belly quite extensively. But that way you get a good hydration system going and keeps you alive. But one of the other things that many of us are accustomed to, and I especially, again, in that this was my career field, is how do you maintain hydration at 35,000 feet? Well, one of the interesting things that occurs with being dehydrated, no matter whether you're at 35,000 feet or you're on ground, from that standpoint, is developing kidney stones. And in the Arizona area or in the drier climate areas, developing a kidney stone is primarily the result of dehydration, which means that your bladder system, your urinary tract, and your kidneys and that, it does not have sufficient water, and the calcium in the water themselves end up collecting and create a severe pain. Which many people have indicated to me that the severe pain that you're going to experience, all you need to do is to talk to the mother of your children, and she may be able to tell you what that pain is like. I can say from my standpoint that with the number of the ones that I have had over the years of kidney stones, they are not fun. And the pain can be extremely excruciating. And you may even be hospitalized as a result of it. But anyway, hydration at 35,000 feet. I imagine many people, when they get on board, they get a nice cup of coffee, they get a cup of tea, they'll consume some alcoholic beverages, and every one of those items are a dehydrating mechanism. So you can experience extremely discomfort at higher altitude when you start consuming those types of beverages. The main suggestion would be to drink water. And if you don't particularly like the taste of water, you may ask for a lemon or a lime, or maybe they have some juices around and you can color the juice or the water, or, you know, change its tasting by adding some other formalities to it. So very easy to do from that standpoint. The interesting thing is that there's been some studies done in the airlines, as an example. This happens to be done, accomplished by certain individuals, mainly a lot of the college resource centers. And they found that the ultimate study ranked Spirit Airlines as the lowest ranked one on the quality of their water. And they ranked Allegiant Airlines and Alaska Airlines for the best water quality. So I don't know what quite is the best water or the worst water, but that would be the spectrum. And that information is available by contacting some of the resource divisions. This one, I believe, happened to be, was in collaboration with DietDetective.com with the Hunter College, the Hunter College, New York City Food Policy Center. So that would be some areas if you're concerned about that. But I can tell you from my experiences, I did receive my first kidney stone back in 1974, as an example, and I was about ready to get on board a DC-10 to fly nonstop from Chicago to California. And if that would have occurred, I will gently say that we would have had an emergency landing somewhere along the way, because I was folded up in the fetal position down in the operations center, and then literally hauled away in an ambulance to the emergency room at Chicago's hospital. Not fun, folks. So keep yourself hydrated with the water, and that's very, very important. So that has to be balanced with your consumption of water throughout the day. I'd like to talk now a little bit about a tool that I came across the other day, which seems to be quite amazing in all that it can accomplish. So many of us that's been in the woodworking industry or have taken woodworking at various courses know about the mortise and tenon joint of joining two pieces of wood together. There are special big machines, the countertop machines that are available that can accomplish that. You can also get a lap joint, which sometimes is called, I can't remember the name at the moment, but a lot of the roofing was put together with lap joints. You can also get a lapped miter joint, which is the same sort of thing that it's not quite like a tongue and groove, which is a tongue on one side, which is like the mortise, or which is the slot, and then the tenon, which is the protrusion. But it's a lap joint or lapped wood, so to speak. You can get through dovetails. That's the way we join a lot of pieces of wood together, whether it's perpendicular or in line. You can get make a sliding dovetail joint with this piece of equipment, as well as box joints. This happens to be Stanley's new piece of equipment called the Router Boss, and it's known as Does It All. And those are some of the things it can do. Great for woodworkers. It's one tool. It fits on a very small table, if that is the case. And it says here, its claims is that your router operations will soar to a new level. It's an extremely versatile system for machining numerous joints with great accuracy. And I'm sure the accuracy comes with practice, which seems to be the main thing when you start doing dovetail joints or mortise and tenon joints or whatever it happens to be. It can mill any profile and produce a consistent ripple-free finish, which is also very important. It can even make raised panel doors. Many of us have shapers involved where we can produce raised panel doors, which are real big horsepower hogs as far as produces that. The initial option for this tool is quite reasonable for $75. I'm going to have to get one of those shortly in order to increase my woodworking capabilities. Well, folks, we're on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio. We just completed our third segment. There will be after a few announcements, and we'll get ready for our last segment. John, I see, has just put his hat on, so he's signifying that it's time to do all this, folks. We'll see you after the break. Well, Mr. Production Engineer John says I'm back on with a hard hat and a hammer. So we'll get with it. Both of those things are important in the construction field. Welcome back to the A. Henny Man's Haven radio studio, transmitting with Maurice Cerrone from A. Henny Man's Haven on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. There's one water source or water system that you can utilize in your home, and it's either a retrofit or if you're doing a brand new home or some major construction, you can add this type of equipment. This happens to be a recirculating pump system. Many of you probably have stayed in hotels as an example, and you may be up on the first, second, third, or fourth floor, and you turn on a hot water spigot in the bathroom area, or turn your tub water, shower water on, and you have almost instant hot water. All that's accomplished by circulating pumps, pumping systems. You can retrofit your home with a recirculating pump, or with new construction, you can plan that accordingly. We've had several customers come in and talk to us about this at our store, A. Handyman's Haven, and we can suggest various people that can accomplish that. If you are a plumber or you're pretty handy with the plumbing aspect of everything, as well as electrical systems, which does require electrical of some sort, you can accomplish that on your own, and you can buy a recirculating pump system at many locations in the Tucson area. But there are corporate entities or LLC entities that can do that for you. I've had that installed in my home, and through a remote, you can program that. You run a DC-powered pump, which pulls extremely low power, and as a result, it will take the hot water line, all the water in the hot water line, that's normally cool if it sets overnight or so, or it could be exposed to some outside atmosphere, and sends it back into the cold water line, and then it goes right back into the hot water heater, and before you know it, the pump itself, the circulating pump, will terminate, which is an indication that you have hot water in line right at the source of where your pump is, et cetera, et cetera. Normally, if you have two or three sources on that, you want to have the pump at the furthest extremity from the hot water heater. You can have multiple pumps if you so desire, which will provide you the hot water that you need and stop wasting hot water. I can remember one of my friends used to say that they would get a 5-gallon bucket, they'd put it underneath their shower. Before they took it, they'd fill up one or two of them till they got the hot water in there, and then they'd haul the hot water outside and water their plants while somebody was in taking a shower. So keep that in mind of way of conserving water and keeping the utility bill at the lowest possible level. The next thing I'd like to talk about was beautifying, welcoming, modernizing, and functional applications or trends that may be associated for 2020 that's coming up in a few days. Maybe a month and a half or so. And we can go back and revisit the 1970s. And I have to admit that some of these things are sort of dear to my heart. But the 1970s brought us about with the avocado green, of which a lot of people remember. How about the harvest gold? Sunflower orange, as it was called. Or maybe the chocolate browns. The 1980s had us moseying along in pastel tones of the Southwest, which is sort of like the earth tones. Every decade has its own palette of colors. If your home looks like a throwback to yesteryear, considering updating it for the new decade. Of course, modernizing your home every 10 years can be a rather expensive operation. So many times you can pick up some ideas and refresh and modernize your home by just taking a look at some of the interior designer websites, taking a look at color palettes that are available from various aspects of home remodeling, and that can help you if you decide to modernize your home. I know the 1970s was significant in our home, and because Harvest Gold was present, the walls were sort of a blue with grass paper. We didn't have any avocado green. We did also have some chocolate browns. So those colors were rather dear to our home, especially when it was purchased in the late 60s and early 70s. Just be mindful of what you're going to do and what the expense costs may be associated with that. Rapid urbanization has made our lives faster than ever that we can ever imagine. We are also seeking ways to decharge our minds when we are at our home, and some quiet spaces or some rooms that where you can go and meditate and unspool, so to speak, could be very, very important. I do know that that was very important during my life and growing up, especially when I was in college and doing various activities, that also changing your activity level throughout the day may be a great way of rejuvenating yourself and proceeding on down. Home offices are still an exciting trend. We're working with a customer lately that they have their artist gallery right in their home, and we're trying to modernize portions of their artist gallery to make it more functional and easy for them to work in. Home-based businesses are quite common, and one of the things that a lot of corporations look like or suggest, if you'd like to work from your home, we'll set up a way that we can work from your home. With today's computer technology and the software called Log Me In, you can work from your home at almost any hour that you want, as long as you have a computer that is turned on at your office and that you can get on that line and attend to work. It is a little bit slower than normal, but I'm sure that speed will pick up as time goes on. Personalizing your own home and your own space is extremely important. I know that in our home, just to share with you, each room is named after our, you want to say our maiden names or our base name, which would be our parents' name. So we do have rooms named after that, and that room is decorated with items that are characteristic of what our mom and dads were working with or associated with, as well as their pictures. That's how the children grew up from that standpoint. And with that being in mind, when guests come, we assign them one of our parents' room for their extended stay at our house. Furniture trends. That is always a challenge. Whatever your furniture trend may be, that is what's going to be important to you. It's not necessarily what the trends may dictate. Trends may become important only if you're going to sell your home within 6 months to a year or so. At least that's my opinion. But you're living in this home. You have to be comfortable with it, and that's the most important part. So what furniture you use, or what furniture you would like to have, or what furniture you would like constructed, that becomes very important. One of the other characteristics that's occurring these days is to open up the home so it looks like it's more spacious. I've been in several homes that where people are not going to change the wall structures, and as a result, it's like a bunch of cubicles. The cubicles I'm talking about is when you walk into some investment office place or bank place where the rooms are so small. The good thing about the banking industry, though, they have glass all around their rooms so everybody can see what's going on in there. But there are places where there's no windows at all whatsoever in many offices, and those are the type of cubicles that people have within their home, and they seem to bump around from wall to wall to wall. So there are such things as mid-century and artisan influences in upholstery, as well as the sustainable materials that may catch your eye. Sustainable woods. Many woods are not very sustainable, but also taking care of your wood can also make it very sustainable. Take a look at your thrift stores and see what furniture they have in there. They get quite an array of furniture that people are getting rid of. Take a look at estate sales. See what's available at your estate sales on Saturdays and Sundays, maybe even Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Take a look at the textures that will be important to you. And one of the most undesirable in my own personal case is to have everything in a house look the same thing, with the same color, the same wood, the same color of cabinets, whatever it may happen to be. And that's never changing when you go from room to room to room. Does your dining table set, does it continue, or do you have mismatching chairs? They say you should have matching chairs. Well, matching chairs are nice, but soft chairs are pretty good too. Different dining room chairs in various styles and colors allow you to be exclusively creative. And I think that that's an extremely significant word, is trying to be very exclusive creative. Whatever you do is important to you, and folks, not to be a little snotty, so to speak, but you have to live in it, and I as a designer does not have to live in it, so keep that in mind. Well, we're coming to the end of our segment, and I see that Jeff Prather from the Prather Point is in studio. He'll be with you shortly. It's been enjoyable being back talking to you about various aspects of home remodeling and activities in the home. So I'd like to sign off for right now, and we'll see you next week on A Handyman's, or the Hammer Time Radio Show with the A Handyman's Haven Radio Studio. Enjoy the week, folks.